Hello, welcome to Thoughts on Thoughts, a podcast where you, our listeners, can become part of a conversation with us. We are three therapists who are going to talk about the good, the hard, and all the in-betweens of life. Come join us. Welcome to Thoughts on Thoughts. This is Taylor, and I'm here with Jessica and KJ, and we're here for another riveting episode of all of the things that we think and all of the opinions that we have. So buckle up. Today, yep. Yes, just all of them. Today, we're going to talk about something cool and interesting and probably pretty relatable, and that is when we are faced with leaving something that isn't great for us. Leaving something that we've established is not a good fit, maybe not healthy, maybe a little toxic in some cases, and something that we need to leave behind, for example. Maybe a relationship, maybe a long-term partnership, maybe a job, maybe a program or school or even a religion or culture or whatever. Whatever it may be, we're going to be talking about leaving something and the difficulties of it and maybe some ways to look at it in order to make that journey a little more smooth for yourself. Yeah, we'll start with.
Yeah, this kind of stemmed from the episode we released about dealing with difficult coworkers because as Jessica and I were talking, we were talking about, like, you know, at some point, if something just becomes too unhealthy for you, you know, you might need to leave it. And then we were thinking about how leaving things can be so difficult. And so maybe we just need to start by talking about, like, why that can be so difficult. Why is it difficult to leave? Why is it difficult for people? So when I initially think about that, I think of two things. The first thing being maybe your self-esteem is pretty attached to this thing. Like maybe you're pretty enmeshed in a relationship you have and that has become like your persona, your identity. Like it's very wrapped in this relationship with this other person. You get validation from it or whatever it may be. Or if it's like a really high stress job. I think people can get a lot of esteem. Maybe it's like a false sense of esteem from that, you know, mm-hmm. just I'm performing well and I have a lot of output, but maybe you're not getting a lot of like positive input from this mm-hmm. stressful job. The second thing I think of is maybe it's like a codependency type issue, like mm-hmm. you know, my entire identity is wrapped up in this other person or this other thing in my life and I don't know who I am without it, and so leaving this thing and kind of jumping into the unknown is so scary because I don't know who that person is on the other side of it. So I don't know, do you guys have other ideas of why something could be hard to leave, or does that cover it?
Yeah, well, I think, well, like what you said, that fear of the unknown can be just overwhelming to so many people. Like I don't know what my life is going to look like on the other side. I don't know if I jump if anything will catch me, you know, and the known of a maybe a bad unknown still can feel so much safer than an unknown, which may be better, may be worse. I mean, you would hope it's going to be better, but you don't know that it is. So it feels very yeah. terrifying to be like, okay, I'm just going to go to I don't know what, you know, very mm-hmm. scary. Yeah.
Yeah. It also kind of makes me think about it's hard because these things are not typically like 100% bad, you know? And that's tricky part. It's like if we're talking about a job, you know, a job could be like 95% bad, you know? but
they're still like, oh, yeah. Huh.
Yeah. But then it's like, but you know, at least I have a job. I have a place to go every day. And it gives
that
me
one
a
friend.
Paycheck.
I can't leave that one friend.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, so that's what's hard sometimes is I think in order to leave something, we need that absolute truth that it's all bad and there's no other way than to leave it, right? It's and that's not life. Things aren't 100% bad or 100% good. There will always be a redeeming quality if you dig deep enough to find it. But how much energy are you spending digging? So like it's just all about like assessing the amount of energy it's being taken from you. And if you're having a hard time identifying that, make a pros and cons list. I mean, just write the things down. Sometimes it's more powerful to see it written on paper. I mean, my husband made a pros and cons list about me before he married me. And thank goodness, I guess, the pros were longer. I did find that list.
One
I
out.
Yeah. Already told this story when I found that list after we got married.
Have you told it to our listeners though? Probably not.
I don't
not.
Know, you guys. No, we were living in our first apartment, newly married, so in love. Oh my gosh, she's a dream. I pick up a yellow legal pad out of a box and then I pull a yellow legal pad out of the box and I start to look at it. Pros, cons to marry Taylor or not. And before my eyes can drift down to naturally find which column is longer than the other.
Yeah,
or what
I was 100% immediately myth, checking that.
Yes. What myths he could have put in the cons column.
Because there's nothing. Zero.
Like lightning speed. Lightning speed across the roof, snatching.
You should
it
never
out.
See this.
I'm aghast, you know. And then he just—I mean, I think he probably ate it, burned it. You know, I don't know what he did, but it disappeared. And all he said was, "No good can come from this. No good can come from this." You know. And I said,
that's
"Well, you're
true.
Not wrong."
Yeah.
So if you need to,
I know, right? Yeah.
Right. That would have been very bad for our honeymoon stage.
It would have been. It would have been forever in the back of your mind. Like, but he didn't like this, you
know. But now as I'm making this podcast, I can go, you know what? Pros and cons lists can be very, very helpful. So
you can. And then burn them afterwards.
Like, yeah. I think we burn them forever. Don't put them in a box and take them to your new home with your new life partner. My gosh.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Come on, Logan.
Yeah. Come on, Logan. He's a smart guy. He is. But yes. So when it comes to looking at these options, it's recognizing that we have to like shed that black and white thinking and that all or nothing are kind of like always never reasoning, and then allow yourself to kind of leave even the good things because they're not good enough, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I have like, this might be kind of a weird jumping off point. We're going to process this right now.
Please jump.
As you're saying this, because you're talking about like weighing things out, recognizing black and white thinking, I'm thinking about tuning into to just how you feel physically, because the mind and body are so intertwined. And I think like if you're recognizing symptoms like weird things, maybe it's like digestive issues or pain or something like that, just like maybe take a look at what
just
your body's
just notice
trying
that
to tell
you know?
Notice that. Yeah, because I so I worked at inpatient therapy for 5 years and
yeah, you did.
I was going to a chiropractor, and luckily my husband worked there so I could get free care. But I was going like weekly, multiple times a week for hip pain, like intense, excruciating hip pain. Like I was in pain sitting at my desk all the time. And it got to the point where the chiropractor was like, I can't help you. Like, I don't know what is going on. You know, I probably could have gone and gotten like scans done and things like that. anyways, I quit my job after 5 years, and I have felt physically so much better. Like, it was a weird manifestation of the stress that I was undergoing in this job. My body was just, like, in chronic pain because of it. That's my theory. And it checks out. But it's wild. I mean,
timing-wise, seems nothing short of predominant.
Yes.
So, truly.
Oh, my word.
I'm sorry. That's from The Office, in case you didn't know.
Yeah.
To all, everyone who's like, why are you laughing? It just seemed perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, I would make the point. It does. But, like, it is wild how you could, like, if you're like, oh, I often have migraines when I'm at work or that are caused by work, but they're not manifesting on the weekend. That's for sure a sign, like, I need to look at what my stress is like during this week. Or, like, if I have an intense sense of dread before I have to see my boyfriend, that's something we want to look into, you know? It might be something that you're like, well, it's, like, fine once we're together. It's, like, okay. But, like, maybe it's not, you know? Maybe you want to be digging into that a little bit more.
Yeah, it's just good to look at.
Okay, so we've established. Oh, you're going to establish further. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's good. I like this like line of reasoning right now, kind of like digging a little bit deeper. And I think it's good to figure out how much energy you're allocating and in what different areas you're doing it in. You know what I mean? Because if you're just like, I was thinking about if I have a finite amount of energy in a cup and I spend half of that energy with dread before I see my boyfriend because I'm very worried that he's going to get mad at what I'm wearing or where or what I did last night. And then I only have half the amount of energy to get me through the next day. It's kind of like, okay, somebody could look at that and say, well, that's not terrible. You know what I mean? So you guys still had a good time. But could you imagine just using all the energy in the cup, connecting, having experiences, feeling filled up, and feeling secure and safe? Like, how much more would that enhance that situation? So it's like, look at how much energy you have, look at how it's being used, and then imagine if you used all that energy to do actually what you wanted, and then what kind of a different life or situation that would create. But,
love that.
Yeah. I love the use of the word allocate.
Yeah, it's a good one.
That was also really nice.
Thank you really so nice much. Yes.
Welcome. Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on from, you know,
from allocating
what's going on within yourself. Oh dear. I promise we're sorry, taking everyone. This seriously.
We are.
It's getting
You're
late.
It's
in
not
Utah,
hard for me to leave listening to this podcast right now because you can't be taken seriously. Oh, okay.
We appreciate
so
anyone who makes it through.
How do people leave? Because we've talked about how
what do you do?
Leaving the known is really tough. Mm-hmm. So first steps, I mean, one, recognizing there's an issue. Two, I would say kind of daydream about it. Is that weird to say? But kind of like run through the daydream of how that might play out. Because I think that's kind of like a step beyond pros and cons. Like, it's kind of thinking like, realistically, what could happen if I left my job?
What's the possibilities out there?
Yeah. Because maybe it feels like there's not a lot of possibilities with leaving a job. Maybe the job market is really tough. Maybe there's not a lot of positions open. Maybe you've gotten on Indeed and you've looked around and there's not listings. And just, I think make sure to really tune into, okay, do I have like, what's the kind of thinking where it's negative?
of negative thinking. That's what you're thinking about.
No,
but I think, are you talking about like mental
filter, catastrophizing?
Yeah, catastrophizing. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, because I was thinking
that's the bad kind right there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not, you do not want to be doing that.
My brain went to claustrophobic thinking and I was like, that is wrong. And I don't want to
we'll
say
do
that.
A whole episode on that.
We can make
later.
A case. We can make a case for claustrophobic thinking. Yeah. I think
you might feel claustrophobic as you consider your options.
There you go. Yeah. True. Like catastrophizing, I think of like being in a long-term relationship and just having that feeling of like, there is no one else for me out there. Like if I end this, I'm going to have to go back into the dating game. And that is scary. And there's no one else who will date me, you know? So
I don't have a life. There will be no life for me. I will have no long-term relationship. I will be alone for the rest of my life. Yeah. So I can either be in this like subpar relationship or alone forever. Okay, well, what am I going to choose, you know?
Yeah.
So I think recognizing if there's some thinking errors at play. So studying it out, daydreaming about it a little bit, what the alternatives can be. And then I think like start with a little step. Mm-hmm. Like maybe you do start looking at other job options and just seeing what there is.
Maybe you take an interview, even for a place that you're not really sure if you want to go, you know?
Yes, just to see how it feels. Make like a list of, here's everything I need to do to get my life in order to be able to leave. Like maybe I need to learn this new skill. So I start learning this skill so I can move to a different job place. Or maybe I would like to, you know, maybe I need a new friend because my best friend is bringing me down with her negativity, you know? KJ and Taylor, I can't take it anymore, you know?
Of course.
So it's like, okay, I start thinking about like, okay, well, who would I want to be friends with? I make like a little game plan. Oh, I would like to be friends with this person. What are some things I could do with that person? I could text them this. I could do, you know, like giving yourself like a game plan of here's what I want to do. I'm daydreaming. I'm dreaming about this beautiful life where I have friends and it's wonderful. And then I start to break it down into like manageable steps. And then I start to take those steps, you know? And then you just keep stepping, you know?
And then the more steps you take, you're just going to be in a different spot, you know?
Yes.
Every time.
I think like leaving a relationship can feel more daunting than like maybe a job separation because like the steps of trying something new are not really clear cut. It's like maybe I'm going to set some healthier boundaries and see what happens. But you may get to the point where you're like, nothing is changing. I need out. So I would say refer to episode 113. It is about how to have hard conversations. Yeah. And that should give you a lot of tips of like how to gear up for having a hard conversation. If you're like breaking things off with someone or you're like, I want a divorce or, you know, like those are very difficult moments. And so we do have a lot of tools in that episode to help.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of that really goes back to like trusting the self, you know what I mean? And that would be a good episode because like in multiple episodes, we talk a lot about like gaslighting, right? Things that can throw you off track from what you actually do and feel. And some people can say things that can kind of make you feel a little crazier, like you're overreacting or being dramatic, right? So I think what you can do there before those hard conversations is like maybe journaling or doing some processing with a friend or a therapist and like really getting down to brass tacks. Like, what does the self know? What do you know within yourself? What do you know that you, what you deserve? What do you, when you look at what is, when you look at the facts, what is, what's happening in this relationship? What's happening to you and what's not happening? And then kind of looking at that and just like really holding tight to those and those hard conversations or taking those hard steps. It's like, that's not an opinion or a bias. That's a fact. Like, especially when you get in those really unhealthy places with friends or partners, when they're maybe there's some emotional abuse or some emotional like neglect or things like that. It's kind of like, what does this relationship look like in reality? And then trust that reality when you're trying to move forward. It's very, very difficult, but it's definitely doable if you kind of take those little steps one by one.
Yeah. And as you were saying that, it made me think of, like, you're checking the facts, and then also, like, something we do in EMDR is visualizing or reflecting on a time where you felt a certain way that you want to feel again. So, if you're wanting to feel some relief and just feeling like you made the right decision, think of a time in the past where you have felt that way. Like you've made a hard decision and then you felt some relief afterwards, and just kind of put yourself back in that moment and imagine what that feels like, what that looks like, and kind of manifest that for yourself. Like, look, I felt that way in the past. I can feel that way again. I just need to work on trusting my mind, trusting myself that I'm going to do the things that are healthy and right for me to move me forward, so I can get to a place of feeling relief and health again.
I love that.
And that's where you look to yourself as like your past self as an example, and then you look to friends and family. Like, I love how I have this friend who has been so brave, and she left this relationship with no prospects and it was okay, you know? Or my friend just left the job that I was at and she just got a higher paying job. Neither of us thought this was possible, but I see that it is possible. And so I'm going to, you know, use them as an example to bolster myself and feel more brave, you know?
Yeah. And that's like combating that thinking error of like the mental filter, right? And so that mental filter is basically like all of the things or all of the facts come into this. I always imagine like a pasta strainer, maybe because that frequency, you know? But it's like everything.
I always imagine like an AC unit, like
yes, that's
the
so
AC
funny.
Filter, you know?
Yes, yeah, AC filter, so pasta. KJ, what do you think when you think of a mental filter?
Ooh, I think I was the colander as well.
I need to get there. Okay.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. You're in the HVAC stage. No, it's like, it really is like when you have like a pasta strainer for me, or colander. I suppose that's the proper term. But it's like everything's coming through, and all the facts are coming through, and the things that you strain out, the things that you decide to put into your dish after that, is all of the negative things, all of the
gross
bad things.
Stuff.
You filter out all of the positives, all the things that Bod was just saying, like, oh, my friend did this, you know, and this worked out, and all we have are those exceptions, right? Like, oh, well, she left and she's been miserable, or he left his job and then he lost his apartment and now he's homeless, you know, like all of these things, right? And I'm sure these things do happen to people, but when that's all we have in our bowl, there's no way we want to make that decision. So then when you challenge that, like Jessica was just saying, and you say, no, recognize that you're straining out everything else, and then you pull out all that stuff and you say, no, these things are also happening too. These things are real. This is reality. This is what is. And give yourself an accurate picture and some hope, because that's the installation of hope right there, is when you're looking at the positives as well.
It's a very open-minded, difficult process, but you have to have an open mind through it, or you won't leave whatever you need to leave behind, you know. But I think as you read novels, as you live life next to people, you will learn that people are stuck regularly and they are terrified of moving forward in their own life. I want to say in their own power, because that's just like such a catchphrase right now.
Love it.
Which I don't even really understand it, but it really, that's
either.
What
no,
people
fine.
Would say, you know, like, you move forward in your power. And I'm like, cool. Okay. I will. But it is like that.
Done.
Where you can see, the closer you become to people, the more you watch people in your life, in movies and books and everything, it's so easy to yell at them and be like, you are stuck. It's time to let go and not be afraid and move forward. And sometimes we need to say that same thing to us. Like, I am stuck, but it's okay. It's time for me to let go. It's time for me to move forward, because you have to believe that there can be a better life. Just like you could look at someone that you love, who's your best friend, and you can say, this is not the right relationship for you. And I have every bit of faith that a better one waits for you. Sometimes you just have to try really hard to believe that for yourself. And sometimes you don't even believe it and you just have to do it anyway.
You just,
you know, you do it scared, right? Wait, isn't it, KJ, aren't you obsessed with We Bought a Zoo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 20 seconds of extreme courage.
There we go.
You just got to do it.
Just do it. Rip off the Band-Aid. 20 seconds. Yeah. Extreme courage.
Yeah, it's the scene where the dad's talking to his son, and his son wants to tell the girl that he likes her, or like be her friend or something like that. And the dad, you know, tells him the story of how he met the mother. He saw her in a window of a restaurant, and he kind of pepped himself up, and he was like, I'm going to go talk to her. Like, it's just going to take 20 seconds. I just need 20 seconds of insane courage to go in there and introduce myself. Mm-hmm. And he did. And it led to so many wonderful things. And hopefully that is what can happen. You know, if we have that, you know, moments of insane courage to have a hard conversation or to make a decision to leave something that is truly not serving us in a healthy way and move forward to something else.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
So to all of you out there, we wish you just the best of luck. You have us on your team. We are with you. We want you to make the changes you need to change. Mm-hmm. We're ready for you to do it. We're stoked for you. Can't wait to see what comes later.
Yeah.
We'll be your, I was going to say your gymnasts, but I meant cheerleaders. We'll be your cheerleaders.
You could be their gymnasts too. Those are amazing athletes.
Yeah, we will do that as well. So you're welcome. We can do it all.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Always here to validate the struggle and the feeling of being stuck and how scary it is to jump into the unknown, but also recognizing that you can know what's good for yourself and you can take tiny steps for change. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is another episode from us, your AirPod therapists. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate it 5 out of 5 stars. That would be just the biggest.
So good.
Hug from you to us. Yeah, we
it makes
love
us
that.
Tear up when we see reviews, like literally. I'm not kidding.
No, that's true.
I feel so happy.
Ones that aren't from my mom.
All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Just
but
kidding.
Also,
she stopped listening
it
after
something nice.
Two, so it's fine. Yeah.
I know, right? Yeah, mine too. Mom.
Glad your mom's got to episode 2. Your mom hasn't gotten there yet. All right, we'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us today. We want to create a community of inclusion where we can have conversations about topics that you need help with or have questions about. We want you to have a voice in this process, so please let us know what you want to hear about on future episodes. You can email us at thoughtspod@gmail.com. And if you search ThoughtsPod, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All original music is composed by Milan Vrajic from Valley of the Bears, and our logos are by Rick Thomas. Thanks for joining us.